Hello, and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I am joined with my co-host, Natalie Bellini, and we have such an exciting episode hot off the press. Inhaled insulin, Afrezza, just got FDA approval in kids ages 6 and over, get this, type 1 and type 2 diabetes. This is huge. So previously, this was only approved in adults. And so this is the first time we get this now available for kids. And for those that don't know, this is inhaled insulin. This is the fastest acting insulin that there is. So it's used for mealtime insulin or to correct high glucose levels. So this is based on the Inhale One study. So Natalie, you want to talk to us a little bit about the Inhale One study that got this approved?
Absolutely. Welcome, everyone. I'm so glad you're here to hear this today. So Inhale One was a study conducted with 230 pediatric patients aged 4 to 17, comparing children on MDI to children on inhaled insulin with long-acting insulin. The outcomes show similar outcomes over the course of the 56 weeks. Remember, when we do insulin studies, we want them to be similar. That's what we're looking for, right? We're not looking, we don't get superior. We get similar, and that's what we're aiming for. So this is what that showed. The outcomes show similar outcomes over the course of a 56-week study. Some of the highlighted data includes BMI was stable for kids using inhaled insulin, and it showed some weight gain on those with MDI. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Increased satisfaction by both teens and also parents of those 4 to 12 years old for those on in the inhaled insulin. And we're going to talk about that. So those are the two big things. There are no safety signals. There were similar hypoglycemic outcomes and no decline in lung function. In fact, in the trial itself, there was more of a decline in lung function. And those using MDI, they didn't even end up with it on the inhaled insulin. So that's huge. So let's talk about those three big key points, though. Why do you think, Diana, that there wasn't weight gain?
Well, there was no weight gain with inhaled insulin. It is the most physiologic insulin, actually. So in terms of how quickly it works within 12 minutes. You have the first measurable effect. It actually peaks in 35 to 45 minutes, and it's out of the bloodstream in 90 minutes. So when you compare that to sub-Q rapid-acting insulin, and even if you're going with like a Lyumjev or a Fiasp, which is absorbed a little bit faster, but still has that tail where it's in the body for a while. So those insulins, unfortunately, are more likely to cause hypoglycemia. And then the result, if you have hypoglycemia, you got to eat like you... right? You got to feed your insulin. So that's why having a more physiologic insulin really it can be very helpful. And then along those lines, I think one of the things I especially want to highlight is ADA standards of care, what they say about offering choices to people. And like, I'm not here to say, like, to argue that, oh, like, take away people's AID and put everyone on inhaled insulin. We are not saying that. But the reality is that I think this trial and other trials show that a person can do just as well on an AID system with inhaled insulin. And so when you think about offering choices to people, what if someone doesn't want to be connected to a pump? What if someone wants a break from a pump? What if someone finds it more convenient to inhale insulin and doesn't want to give themselves injection or insert the pump as often? So I think thinking about that, like being able to offer different choices at different time points is exciting. And now this choice, which we have had for adults, is now available for kids as well.
I think there's two really good points there. One is weight gain comes from treating lows and then over-treating the low, and then having a high, and then treating the high, and then having another low, and treating the low. You're overfeeding. You're feeding that insulin. Whereas with Afrezza, what people can do is go back to that joy of eating. So you can use it a couple of times and know that you can treat safely in that period, right? So you can use it twice or three times during a meal. You can use it, you know, very quickly after a meal if you have a persistent high. You just did the wrong dose and you think, all right, I could use a little more. You know, most of it's already gone. So there is some ability to go back and forth that you don't have, right? A lot of people want that pre-bolus in. They've committed to that 60 grams of carbohydrate. They eat 45. They get low, they overtreat because they feel awful, then they're high, so then they take more insulin, and that's where you get long-term weight gain. So I think that's really important to think about. And I always talk about ADA guidelines because I'm a clinician and a researcher, right? And the combination makes us think about what the guidelines say and why. Our guidelines say treat blood pressure. We've changed those guidelines this year. Our guidelines say drive cholesterol down more than we ever have before. Our guidelines say offer choice when you're delivering insulin. And so AID is one option. MDI is another option. And we are supposed to be offering inhaled insulin. And I would challenge our listeners out there, are you actually doing that? You know, and a lot of people, they forget about it, or it's in a drawer, or they have someone come in on it, but they're not actually proactively saying, let's see if this is right for you.
Yeah, I just think of all the potential here, especially type 2 diabetes in kids. So, I mean, we are seeing more and more type 2 in children, and it is very common, even with our latest and greatest incretins, they are more likely to need insulin. And sometimes just the whole injection, it's a lot, right? And so the ability to not have to give as many injections. And so, I mean, the idea would be this to be paired with a long-acting insulin. Right now, we can get to a once-a-day insulin very soon. We had our first weekly insulin approved, Icodec. We should see that soon, right? And hopefully more as well. So it's like, you just think about, there is a world where someone could be on one injection a week, maybe two if they're on a GLP-1 and they're on the long acting weekly mm-hmm. insulin, and then they're inhaling their mealtime insulin and
as needed, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, provide.
I love that idea. And I think that the other thing we need to think about, though, is when we talk about this PEDS aspect of it, is a school nurse. Yes. So right now, what we do is the kids go to the school nurse, check their glucose or show them their glucose sensor data, and then give insulin and go to the cafeteria, right? The way we use inhaled insulin is if that child inhaled the insulin and went to the cafeteria and is stuck at the back of the line, we're going to have a problem. They're going to get low because remember, it shows up in the bloodstream, right? First measurable effect, that's what it's called, is 12 minutes. So if you end up with a kid that horses around or gets distracted or is wandering around, we're going to have a problem, right? So that insulin is going to be needed to be inhaled in the cafeteria itself. Now, everyone's got to think about that, right? School nurses go to the cafeteria to give medications with meals all the time. So don't think about this as, oh, how is that going to happen? It will happen because children have the right to get the medication that the prescriber approved, no matter where or how that happens, right? So we will have to advocate for some kids to have that happen. But it's really important, I think, that we can do that and that we are ready to be those advocates for these kids.
Yeah, the other thing I'm just thinking is it is so fast. I could see where someone would eat their lunch and then
do it
after the nurse right after. And just thinking, if someone didn't want everyone to know they're on insulin or whatever, that would offer a little bit more privacy. So I think we have options for sure. I think as kids get older, they likely can be in charge of their own insulin. And yes, they can use it in the cafeteria. They could step out for a second if they want to, right? Like they have a lot of different options. We will figure it out for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love the idea of doing it afterwards, because if they are, if they do it right after they're done and they eat half their lunch, they might use a smaller dose than if they ate their whole lunch, or they changed their mind and had pizza and ice cream as opposed to whatever they thought they were going to order from the cafeteria line, right? So they could even consider that as well. It's not in the label to do it that way, but we're going to use it for the safety of the person that's in front of us, aren't we?
Yeah. And I think the other big thing about it is because it works so fast, it is such a great tool for correcting high glucose. So you don't have to wait like 4 hours from your last injection. You literally can give another dose an hour or 2 hours after you've had your last one. So very easy to go in and kind of correct is needed. And I think that will be great in the school system. People like they can just go and get an additional dose as needed. So
I love it. I'm super excited. And I'm really glad, because this has been a journey to get this approved through the FDA for the kids that need it the most. Can't wait to see it in the school this year.
Right. I think it's going to be great. And then the other thing is that the company has announced, Mankind has announced that there is going to be a bridge program to really make this very affordable with the initial dosing of it. Because we all know, right? Like, you could have the latest and greatest whatever, but if it's not covered, you're not going to use it. And if there's barriers to prescribing this and using it, like, it's just not going to be used. So they have a program, and it is supposed to be very accessible for people. You know, it's supposed to be $35 a month. And so the hope is that people will be able to get it pretty seamlessly and then gain experience with it. And then hopefully over time, coverage will continue to expand.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled because they are they're going out of their way to make it as accessible as possible, which I love, but they're also going out of their, like, this was a big push. This was a big deal to get this study done, the FDA approval. And I just congratulate our friends over there because they've always been the people the most fun to learn from, but also the most fun to push for the people with diabetes. And I love that about them.
Yes. So very exciting news. We'll see our patients on it soon. And with that, we thank you so much for tuning in. That wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.
Thanks, everyone.